Quartet.
Hello, welcome to the Football Side Podcast. My name is Matt Greenlaw. With me is Pete Novikovsky, and I've just been hearing that, Pete, you had a little dream about visiting Shannon Cole Lane.
Yeah, I woke up this morning thinking that I had been driving around, mostly around Fairfield Way last night, and I turned up a street called Shannon Cole Lane.
There's no such lane as Shannon Cole Lane.
There's no such thing.
But what did you do? I think you Googled it just to find out if
there
were.
Yeah, I did, to be honest. I dreamt that I turned up Shannon Cole Lane, so I took a photo of the sign to prove that it actually did exist. When I woke up, I found out that there was no photo.
I've got one 90s word to use for you right now. You took a photo wanting to put it on the internet. Dweeb.
Yeah.
Let's get into the A-League news of the past week.
Melbourne Victory have said that they've identified all nominations for the position of head coach and will start the interview process soon. Melbourne Victory have refused to comment whether or not Roy Keane is up for selection.
Oh, I don't know. There's been a lot of reports that he's not even interested. Well, that's what his manager's saying.
Oh, he likes Australia. He's been here for a couple of days now, and he's turned up for a couple of games. He's always been interested in the Australian way of football, so anything's possible, really.
And who is it that was telling me that he's basically dead? Dead news in England.
Yeah.
And no one would have a bar of him, so maybe Australia's good for him.
Start from scratch, why not? You might as well.
Yeah.
In other A-League news, former Sydney FC utility man, Seon Hyun-byun, has managed to sign a one-year deal with rival club Newcastle Jets. Branko Kolina has said the 31-year-old has a lot of potential, which is rather odd because you would normally say that for someone who's half his age.
He's 31 years old, yep. And I mean, sure, he looks quite young, and that's just lucky for him. But he's 31, he's past his potential.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much more potential he has. But he is a handy player, most definitely. He'll fit in quite well into that left-back role that Adam de Puzo has now left.
And I'd go to say he's more than a utility player. He was the first team member for Sydney FC.
He was the main part of why Sydney FC actually won the premiership in the 2009-2010 season.
Well, he scored the winner.
Exactly.
The final penalty.
So he could be a handy player for the Jets. So it's a good deal, to be honest.
What else, Pete?
God, also known as Robbie Fowler, has verbally agreed to stay with Perth Glory for another year.
Oh, that's nice.
It is. I like Fowler being in the league.
He's going to stay and work on his tan for one more year.
I don't know how much of a tan you can get in Perth, though.
I think he's still white.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And the final news today, we have Central Coast Mariner Mustafa Amini. He's edging closer to a deal over in Germany with the club Borussia Dortmund. And he's done well at travels and at training. He's doing well, so I wouldn't be surprised if the deal comes off soon.
Well, hopefully Central Coast accept an offer. I heard they've been turning down offers.
Yeah, apparently they've turned down one offer already. But there's another deal on the plate soon, undoubtedly, so hopefully they pick up the next one.
Come on, Mustafa, get your club $1 million. That's all we want. Just $1 million, that'd help Central Coast out, keep them afloat.
Who knows, they might even get a new women's team after that with $1 million.
Yeah, that's right.
Something to look forward to.
Does that about wrap up the A-League news?
That's it in the way of news. So let's move to our new section, also known as Player Tweets.
Player Tweets! Excellent!
Yeah. Player Tweets. All right, Pete, what have we got this week?
Scotty Jamieson continues tradition with a tweet saying, "Surely I'm due for some writer award for my columns in the Morning Herald. Everyone buy it to Moz." And then ends it with a smiley face.
Oh, Scotty, you are due for an award. For your four articles, you are due for an award.
You know what? I'm actually going to make up an award. It's called the Scotty Jamieson Journalism Award. And you know who's going to win it this week? Scotty Jamieson.
Yeah, woo! Woo!
Go, Scotty! Travis Dodd has said red wine and hot cross buns.
Well, Travis, that makes for a romantic evening with Jesus.
Don't know how that works, but carry on. Lee Broxham has said, girls don't see cardio.
Lee, I heard
Girls don't like cardio, girls like cars and money.
That worked really well.
It did, actually. I like that.
We were in tune as well.
Yeah, cool.
Nice one.
That ends up for the A-League player tweets. So I'm going to move across to England, where Jack Wilshere, a Arsenal player and future England star, has said, having a Nando's, which is kind of odd, because I always pictured him as a Porto's kind of guy.
Maybe he should talk to Lee Broxton, because he needs to work off that cardio no one's paying attention to.
And Aaron Ramsey, also an Arsenal player, has said, just got back from training, time to chill out and play some Call of Duty, I think.
We'll meet you online, Aaron. What's your username? That ends it for player tweets of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Player tweets. Excellent.
Yeah. Let's move on to the ACL wrap, plus preview of tomorrow night's game, Sydney FC versus Kashima Antlers. But last week, what happened, Pete?
Well, we saw a 1-1 draw between Melbourne Victory and TRG and Tita, which, I don't know, last week when we were recording the podcast, we kind of expected that Melbourne would lose.
I think it was on while we were recording the podcast. We didn't know the final result, and we predicted that Melbourne would lose. I think that was fairly... We thought that was a fairly safe bet. How did he go in the end?
Apparently he did quite well. Yeah. So, who knows, maybe Melbourne Victory managed to sign the good Tando and not the dodgy Tando.
Well, good on him, because they drew 1-1. Sydney FC also drew 1-1.
Against the Chinese Olympic diving team, also known as Shanghai Shenhua.
They did, and they're also sister clubs with each other.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, because Shanghai, they did, as you say, they took a lot of downtime. There was a couple stretches onto the field.
Yeah, I think I saw the stretcher on the field more than I saw the ball.
That's an overstatement, but I think it was three times, I think.
At least. Yeah. For the centre forward, who actually scored the goal for Shanghai, he had the stretcher on the field at least three times. And I don't think that's good football. I'm sorry, mate.
No, the thing about it is, you guys are sister clubs. Don't give us that crap here. Do that over in our other teams. There's plenty of teams in the ACL, but against your sister club,
play proper football.
Play football. And the thing that sucks is that they think that is football. They think that is a legitimate part of the game. Mm. And in Australia, it's not part of the game. And that's great.
To be honest, it threw Sydney FC off. A lot of this diving, it happened the first time that Sydney FC were in the ACL back in 2006. We played Shanghai, and they kept diving again. So that's the second time it's happened to us now.
Well, after the game, the players said they didn't. They came out and said they didn't find it throwing. They weren't thrown off. Stu Michalak said after the game, no, it didn't faze him. Nicky Carl said the same. But you can't help but think that's a lie.
Yeah,
a most blatant definitely. Lie. It can't not. And that is a big stigma on the game for your blow-in fans for football, for soccer.
Yeah.
Who that's the first thing that they state. Oh, people just dive. And
you're not going to bring people through the gate if players are going to keep on diving like this. So, but to be fair, we're not going to be seeing that kind of football against Kashima Antlers, which is happening tomorrow night at the SFS, 8 p.m. kickoff. And really, the Japanese side are all for it.
Yeah, and the match is there also to raise some funds. There's going to be some volunteers, I think, going around rattling the
good old bucket.
The bucket.
Collecting a bit of money on the sides.
Bit of coinage, bit of notes, hopefully. There's a bit of a story behind one of the players in the Kashima Antlers side, I think.
Yeah, it was an interesting story that happened a couple of days ago. The Japanese player Mitsuo Ozagawa, to be honest, my Japanese is really bad, I'm sorry.
That wasn't Japanese.
Yeah, I'm sorry. his parents gave a call saying, "We are okay," and then hanged up straight away. And so this player is here in Australia, training at the moment, trying to build up for this game, is freaking out because obviously with the recent tsunamis and earthquakes which are happening in Japan, he's just sat there going, what can I do? So he's jumped on a plane, got himself a ute, picked up all the supplies he could at the local shops, raced off to where his family were, found out that the house had been destroyed, so he found the relief centre, managed to catch up with his parents there, and discovered that the reason why they're keeping the phones so short is not to block up the lines. And they're using private numbers so people can't call up either. So it's a hugely fascinating story. And the guy's come back to Australia now saying, we're going to win this for the family back in Japan.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
Good story from the media. Horrible story for the family and friends and everyone over there in Japan. It's just disastrous. So Kashima will be looking for a pick-me-up for their fans and their people.
Most definitely.
And Sydney FC will be hoping to crush that dream. all right, that's about it for the ACL. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. I think the game is. What were we up to last week? Or on Sunday?
Sunday morning. It's an early morning for us now. We have both been involved co-hosting a radio show called Beyond the 90.
We have. Co-hosting is a really loose form for what we were doing, I feel.
That's true. Well, the radio show actually happens on 2GLF, which is 89.3 FM in Western Sydney. The show goes from 8 till 9 a.m., and it's basically just an hour talking about football. So the local level to a national level to a international level. And we talked to some fantastic guests.
Yeah, and it's hosted by a lovely lady with the name...
Anne Odong.
I just said that because I knew it was Anne, but I didn't know it was Odong.
Yeah. She also runs the Oz Women's Game Twitter feed.
Yeah. She's amazing. Oh my goodness, she can talk football. Wow. And she knows a lot of amazing guests that she gets onto the show.
For instance, we talked to Davide Curran, who is a journalist overseas, and we were talking about what was happening in Champions League football. And next week, we could have the voice of FIFA.
Yeah, that would be quite amazing. Mr. Martin Tyler, I would hope that
that's who you're talking about. Anything's possible.
Or hopefully even could be Sepp Blatter. Could be that FIFA.
Anything's possible, right? Anything.
It could be you with a funny voice.
No, it wouldn't be me at all.
That's not a funny voice at all.
Hey, you laughed.
Okay, so if you want to watch this show, it's on 8 a.m. Sunday. If you can't get it in your house, get the reception in your house in Western Sydney, jump in your car as one of our fans or
listeners.
Fans is going a bit far, probably.
Yeah.
Jump in your car, sit in the garage, and turn on the radio.
I promise we won't judge, but your kids might.
So we were talking a bit about the New South Wales Premier League in that, you and I, which leads us quite nicely into the New South Wales Premier League. What do we got?
Okay, so round three saw some interesting results. We saw Sutherland Sharks manage to defeat Sydney Olympic 2-1 at home. We saw a 2-2 draw between Marconi Stallions and Manly United. South Coast Wolves managed to get the result over Apia Tigers 3-2. Sorry. Sydney United managed to destroy Rockdale City 6-1.
Mm.
Now, I was at the Bankstown City versus Bonnyree game that ended as a 0-0 draw. It was an interesting game. Basically, Bankstown City just needed to find the confidence to have a shot. And Bonnyree just need to be a bit more ambitious with their shots, I guess. And it takes them half... Like, they get up to the top of the field in the final third really quickly. Their counter-attacks are fantastic. But then they sit there for 10 minutes going, oh, maybe I'll pass the ball. Oh, I might cross it now. No, I might have a shot. It's just frustrating to watch. Just to have a dig, mate. You're in front of goal. Just shoot. The other game that... We both actually ended up at...
Yeah, you and I were both at Parramatta versus Blacktown City. Ended in 1-1. Parramatta got a penalty in the 78th minute to cancel out the 70th minute goal by Blacktown. fair result, do you think?
It was difficult conditions, definitely. It was pouring rain, to put it lightly. The pitch was quite bumpy. And probably it was a fair result on the day.
Because, I don't know, a Blacktown definitely...
They were the better side. But they didn't capitalise on the chances that they had.
No, and in particular, I have a little qualm. Travis Major, who is a defender for Blacktown, he had two golden opportunities to put them away and give Blacktown the win, and he didn't take them. The first one he hit, and it hit the post. He was about 3 yards out, and his attempt hit the post. The second one, he was in the 18-yard box, and he took a shot, and it should have gone in. It was harder to miss. Mm,
definitely.
And he missed.
And he still made it into the New South Wales Premier League.
And this is my qualm.
Team of the week.
He made it into the team of the week. I know he's a defender, and he was good, great to get up there and have those chances. But to make the team of the week, he needed to get at least one of those shots. And that's my issue. And there was a couple other names that I felt should have featured that didn't feature in the team of the week. Team of the Weeks are always going to be controversial. A couple of the other names were Matt Bailey for Sutherland Sharks. He had an assist for the first. It was 2-1 to the Sharks over Olympic. Yep. He assisted the first goal very well. He had some great footwork to pass it on to the goal scorer. And then he scored the second. Yeah, and the second one here was a great run through the middle of the park and he found the ball and great run into space and scored.
So, well, I'm surprised that Sash Petrovsky didn't make the score because apparently he had a man of the match performance for the Wolves.
Well, that's right. He had his goal was because he scored for the Wolves against Apia. His goal was just a poacher's goal. It was a typical. Yeah, you could tell that he's been around. I think there was a bit of question of offside there, but you know, no deal, and he got it. Good on him. So we didn't see all the games, and we're sure that the 6-0, 6-1,
the 6-1 win by Sydney United, which actually moved them to the top of the table,
because there was a couple of Sydney United players in there, and I'm sure they had pretty standout performances to get six goals over Rockdale.
But some good news is that Blacktown have actually moved off the bottom of the table, and Rockdale City have actually replaced them.
Oh, is that good? Is that good news?
It's good news for Mark Ryderden's side, Blacktown. Not so good news for Lee Sterry. Is the coach of Rockdale. But, still, yeah. The table's starting to move around, which is always
that's
good
right.
To see.
It's a very interesting first three rounds, I think, because so many teams have beaten each other. There's no standout yet. I mean, sure, there was a 6-1 win by United, but I don't think there's a clear...
Yeah, not yet. It's a very close competition. So I guess we'll have to wait another 3 or 4 weeks before we start seeing who's going to be the front runners of the league.
Cool. I think that about does us for New South Wales Premier League. Just quickly on the women's, Pete?
Yeah, I thought I'd catch you up and keep you up to date with the tally. This weekend saw another 27 goals hit the back of the net, moving the total goals scored so far this season, which is 5 rounds of football, 4 of those being played because one was washed out, to 132 goals.
Lovely. We'll keep you updated with that tally each week. And the interesting point of that is that 27 of those goals came from
Sydney University,
and one
goal so far this competition have come from Southern Branch. But I'm going to put this out there. If you've got nothing planned this Sunday afternoon, head along to Marconi Stadium, because it's going to be a fantastic fixture between Marconi and Illawarra Stingrays.
Great. Yeah, Stingrays will always please the crowd. Let's move on to the Victorian Premier League, as opposed to the New South Wales Premier League. Interesting week there. Let's quickly go through the results.
Well, this weekend saw 20 goals go through the keepers. back nets. So it was an interesting week. A lot of goals scored.
Yep. Bentley Greens won 4-1 over Hume City. It was John Anastasiadis. He's the manager for Bentley. It's his first game managing the team, and that's now his first win.
Off to a good start, that's for sure.
Sean McIlroy?
McIlroy, yep.
He scored 2 goals. Good on you, Sean. Oakley Cannons have defeated St Albans Saints 3-0.
Which keeps them in the top three of the table.
It does. And St Albans are still winless after being promoted to the Premier League this season. Can I just say, this is the first time that I realised St Albans Saints, they're called St Albans Saints.
Yep. It works quite well, doesn't it? It rolls off the tongue.
St Albans Saints.
St Albans Saints.
I love that name. Can we rename them? Do we have that power?
Yeah, why not? Well, we renamed AIS to Canberra United last week.
United. We're going to rename St Albans Saints. We're going to find a better name for you guys.
Well, if you think of a better name, you can always send us a tweet.
Yeah, send us a tweet.
At the Football Sack. That's how you find us.
Great. The Green Gully Cavaliers defeated Northcote City 3-2. Nothing much to say about that game. Anything you got to say? No, not really.
Northcote City are playing some good football, and as always, their Twitter feed is always fantastic, so keep up the good work, guys.
Springvale, White Eagles, went down to Dandenong Thunder.
3-0, that actually ended.
Did it? It says 2-0 here.
VPL website said 3.
We've got our numbers crossed. Anyway, either way,
Dandenong managed to win.
Yeah, they got the win, Dandenong.
And they're doing quite well on the ladder.
Yep, they're now in second. While Springvale, who were also promoted to the Premier League this season with St Albans United, they're sitting third last, just out of sight of the relegation zone. South Melbourne got another win over Richmond.
That was game of the round, actually.
It was, and our match report is up on the SAC. Jump on the website.
www.footballsack.com. That's where you find it.
That's right. So Richmond finished first last season, but they're now seventh, and South Melbourne are sitting first. For those of you keeping tabs on former Australian player Lubo Milicevic.
Sorry, you didn't say it right. Try it again.
I didn't do it right. Lubo Milicevic.
Thank you very much. He got a yellow card for shirt pulling, but he had a rather quiet match. The only goal of that game was by Kyle Richea, which happened in the 72nd minute of the game.
And finally, Heidelberg United defeated Melbourne Knights 2-1. And we know Heidelberg United's goalkeeper is Griffin McMaster.
He was the goalkeeper for Brisbane Roar, if my memory serves me correctly.
That sounds approximately correct.
Sounds good to me.
That means Heidelberg are sitting second last, despite winning. Oh, there's finally one more result. Is St Albans Saints, again, they played a couple games this round, did they?
No, that one didn't actually happen.
Oh, what happened there? You don't know.
It was not applicable.
It says not applicable. Oh, someone's leading us astray.
And that wraps up the VPL. Let's move on to the WA All Flags State League.
Cool.
So first up, we're going to do the usual shout out to That Was A Goal. Keep up the fantastic work as always, guys. And I guess the big news that I wanted to talk about was Perth Soccer Club, who've continued their good form. And they actually managed to get a 1-0 win over ECU at home. They're playing some good football, to be fair. Balcatta still seem to be unstoppable. They had a 4-1 win, thumping Inglewood United. So that means they stay top of the table by 4 points. They're looking fantastic.
But the thing about them being on top of the table, there's a couple teams that are hot on their heels with a game or two games in hand.
Yep.
Who those are?
The team coming second has a game in hand, and the team who's actually coming third, which is Perth, they actually have 2 games in hand. So realistically, if Western Knights manage to win their next game, they're actually 1 point behind them. If Perth win their next 2 games, they're even closer. So really, Balcatta, you got to watch out. If you start losing or you start drawing, these guys are right behind you.
All is not as it seems, Balcatta. My thing about the All Flag State League this week is an amazing goal by Stuart Montgomery from Western Knights in the opening 2 minutes.
It really was fantastic.
It's pretty stunning. He collects the ball on halfway. He has one touch.
One touch to control it, and then takes a dig from halfway and chips the keeper, goes in. It was just a magic goal.
He notices the keeper's off his line. He half volleys it after his one touch, and it goes in. Just wow.
Yeah, you really have to watch it. We actually have the highlights up on our website, so if you check out the article, you can see all these goals here.
Yeah, so head on down to the Round 7 All Flags State League review, and the highlights is there. Just on that game that Western Knights had against Cockburn City, that was where that goal was scored. The other interesting part of that game was a goal to draw the score was 1-1. I think it's Merker. Got a free kick just outside the 18-yard, and he decided to take the kick quite quickly, a la Melbourne Victory, and it went in. And unfortunately for him, Western Knights went on to win 4-1, and his efforts were in vain.
It's a good goal.
Good goal, mate. It doesn't count for anything now, but... Good on you.
So I'm going to do a quick shout out to at the back post on Twitter. Yeah. They do a review of the Tasmanian Football League. I know that a lot of people have been sending us emails and contacting us saying that they're interested in the Tasmanian leagues. We're still looking into this, but quick shout out the back post. Follow them, check them out. They do some interesting stuff about the league.
They do some great stuff. I think they're finding their feet as well, and they're actually doing video interviews, video highlights as well on their YouTube channel. And the content that they're putting up there is quite amazing. So that's the Southern Tasmania League down in Tasmania.
Well, it's always interesting because the Tasmanian League is actually split in half.
Mm.
And so you've got the Northern League and you've got the Southern League. You wouldn't really think of it because Tasmania is so small, to be honest. But it's fascinating that it's broken into.
Well, everyone knows Tasmania's geography. There's two main... There is north and south, so I think that makes sense, Pete. all right, let's have a look at the Queensland State League.
Well, Brisbane Strikers seem to be hitting some form after a convincing 4-1 win over Bundaberg Spirit, moving them to second on the table, 4 points behind league leaders Sunshine Coast FC. So that's pretty much the big news in the Queensland State League. One thing I noticed this week, which I hadn't really actually noticed before, was the names of a couple of the teams. And one in particular struck my attention.
Tell me more, Pete. Tell me more.
Tell you more. one which really got me was North Queensland McDonald's Razorbacks.
Say that 5 times fast.
North Queensland McDonald's Razorbacks.
We can't do it. We tried before the show and we can't do it. Does that mean they're sponsored by McDonald's? Is that...
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Which is fair enough. They're like, you know, the...
Well, it'd be like New York Red Bulls.
Yeah. Love them. But they're probably the same quality of a team as well, the North Queensland McDonald's Razorbacks.
Obviously.
Okay, if you want to know more about the Queensland State League, we've had quite a few hits this week from people being interested in the Gold Coast Stars or the North Queensland McDonald's Razorbacks. Check out the weekly review that we've got up or any one of the match reports that we put up by our good friend and writer, Melanie Dinjaski. She's doing great work for us up there in Queensland. That's on our website, www.thefootballsack.com. Talking about our website, we're up for a couple awards, aren't we, Pete?
Most definitely. And you can still vote. FFDU, which is Footy Fans Down Under, they're still having the voting open for their awards, which close on May 1st. So you have a bit of time left to get in there and vote.
What type of awards are we up for?
Well, we're up for Podcast of the Year, mainly for the work of Christian and Jack, but I like to claim it's because of us.
We're totally claiming it.
It's because we're that awesome.
Well, partly could be for us now. It could be, it's all us, basically. It is. Basically, at the end of the day, the football podcast, Football Sack Podcast, is Matt and Pete. And who are these Christian Leyland and Jack Quigley guys? I can't even remember.
Who?
I don't know. Who's what are we talking?
Yeah. Anyway, well, you're up for Writer of the Year.
I am, which is a bit of a cop out to Les Murray. But you can
still. I voted for Matt.
You can still vote for me.
And we have a couple of suggestions for ways that you can vote.
We do. Okay, so if you're a teacher, we know it's school holidays at the moment, but for your first lesson plan for term two, take your class to the computer labs and get them all to vote for us.
It's not that hard. Most classes will have, give or take, 20 to 35 kids.
Yeah.
Most computer labs will have about the same number of computers in there.
We've done our maths.
Generally, most schools will have two or three computer labs, which means that you can take two or three classes to these labs to vote for us.
It's flawless plan. Flawless. Okay, our next idea. It's serious, Pete.
Yep.
Stop laughing. We're going to go... Well, we want you to go door-to-door like Jehovah's Witnesses and gas companies.
But my advice is only do it between 7 and... Well, 8... Or 6 and 7, mainly when people are having dinner.
Yeah, just get onto that. We'll, if you want some flyers, we'll print you up some. We'll send you along some promotional flyers for the sack to convert those residents to the football sack and its beliefs.
Yes, most definitely.
Third and final way to get the general public to vote for the football sack on football fans, footy fans down under. Host a voting party where guests dress up as their favourite sack writer.
And my advice, make sure you bring your laptop to the dance floor so you can have a lap dance.
Amazing punnage. We love it. Awesome. All right, get on. Make sure you get on that.
That website there is ffdu.net.
Yeah, that's right. Lee over at Footy Fans also asked us to give a shout out to his the trivia night that they are hosting, which is gathering all the football pundits around Australia or around the Sydney area and pitting them against one another.
Well, we registered a team together and
we're in there and we're going to dominate.
Yeah, definitely.
Who's in our team again?
Well, it's you and me, and one of our writers, Michael Ruchik.
So it's you and me and Ruchik up against, like, Craig Foster and Bozza.
To be fair, we're up against some stiff competition.
Some really established
so
pundits.
So if you do live in Sydney and you know your football trivia, please get in contact with us. We could have you on our team.
We will pay you to join our team.
And we'll even let you buy us a beer.
We'll let you buy us a beer.
That's how much we respect you guys.
This is just a disclaimer. We will not actually pay you for your services, but we will expect you to buy us a beer.
That's fair. Cool.
I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah. It's honest.
But come on, Ak. You know, if you're not going to come and help us, at least support us morally.
Yeah, come along. It's the 21st of April, and it's happening at the Royal Exhibition Hotel, just basically near Central Station. So it's not that far at all. Come along, have a bite to eat, have a drink, and cheer us on as we
dominate
the trivia section.
If they ask anything other than A-League, I'm screwed. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, second. So, if you know your European football...
We need you.
Please, please help us out. You can jump on our Facebook page or contact us on Twitter or send us an email. Put your resume on there as well, yeah, so we know how much you actually know football.
Yeah. We'll make you an honorary Football Sack member for the night. Not a guarantee. all right, that about wraps up the Football Sack podcast. We'll give some shout-outs quickly to
Scotty Higgins, who is the goalkeeper coach as well as... I think he's still playing for Gold Coast.
Yeah, I think he's going to step up every now and then.
Yeah.
If they need him.
Very good. He has sent us in a tweet. His Twitter name is quite funny. It's actually GCU Giggles. Great Twitter name. He sent us a tweet giving us the instructions to give a shout-out to Dino Drilwich, who actually scored for his new Chinese club. He scored the winner in a 1-0 game, so kudos to you, mate.
Well done, mate.
Next shout-out goes to J. Robs with a load of Zs at the end of there. Mainly because you asked us to give you a shout-out, so hi, Rob. And as always, to Mishus, also known as Michelle. Hi. Track Bianca, always fantastic to talk to you. To Tris, also known as Final Leg, keep up the fantastic work, girls.
We're just listing our mentions now.
Now that I'm looking at the Twitter feed, we also have one tweet from Thomas Gross, also known as Tommy Rowland, who has said, has Fernando Torres scored for Chelsea.com? If that website did exist, it would come up with a big fat no.
Zero. All right, let's end on some very lovely music that we had made for us a few months ago. See you later, Pete.
Bye!
The Football Tap.